I would like to speak about today the inyan of Chodesh Av. We are still in the middle of Chodesh Av. It's only the 11th day of Av. We have a long way to go. We're coming soon to Chamisha Asa Ba'av. Chamisha Asa Ba'av, that's a separate topic. Okay, that, I'm not going to talk about that. That's a separate topic, Chamisha Asa Ba'av. Lo hayu yamim tovim liyisrael k'chamisha Asa Ba'av yom ha-kipurim shebahem b'noyis yisrael yoytzis makaramim. Go to the vineyards, they would dance. Big social events. Today you'll be thrown out of yeshiva if you go to such an event.
I didn't hear that.
You'd be thrown out of yeshiva if you went to the vineyards. There was no mechitza, and they're wearing white dresses, and they were borrowed, so they didn't fit. If you have to borrow from your friend, it can't be that it fits, or maybe it wasn't smius. All right, whatever it was, I better cut my losses. Okay, whatever it was, but that it was lo hayu yamim tovim liyisrael. That was the day that many shtuchim were made, and Yom Kippur as well. That was also the day it was a big shtuch, because that was the day when plegish begiva. That was the day when they were matir. It used to be that you're not allowed to marry a boy or girl from a different shevet. You had to marry within your own shevet in order to preserve the integrity of the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael. It came a point when the integrity was secure, and then they were allowed to marry even people. The land would transfer from shevet to shevet. It wasn't a big deal because it really reached a point where everything was pretty much.
But there was slacha, they only said one generation.
That was because it was before.
Benos Salafchad, they got a special. What?
Remember, we learned that.
That was before. That was before the Takana. This was a much only after the integrity. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Where is which pasuk? I want the pasuk which says Adoimi. Could you find it for me, please? Where he actually selects David. He selects David. He finds David. David is the Adami. Okay. So it's Chodesh Av. What is the significance of Chodesh in the more in order to open up a greater appreciation of Chodesh Av? So I have a few loose and half-baked ideas that I came across. Most of the things I came across is from a wonderful sefer, The Wisdom of the Jewish Months by Tzvi Reisman. It's an art scroll book. The book is a pattern after the success of The Wisdom of the Hebrew Alphabet. It's a different shape book with a certain type of cover and a certain. It's a wonderful, wonderful sefer. And he goes through the months. We won't spend some time on this, going through one of the other months, but let's focus specifically now on Chodesh Av. Now, this is a medrash, this is a chazal. I'm not exactly sure where it comes from, where it takes note of the fact that there are 12 shvat, there are 12 months. It can't be a coincidence, 12 shvat, 12 months. It must be each one of the months corresponds to a different one of the shvat. And indeed, as all of the months, it could be it's a B'nai Yisaschar. I think the whole B'nai Yisaschar is built. The whole Sev B'nai Yisaschar, Yisaschar. It's called Yisaschar. He's Shev, we call him Yisaschar, but the Sev is called Yisaschar. That's a separate issue.
Well, maybe it's not for now.
A different topic. But the B'nai Yisaschar, his entire Sefer is built upon this principle of the months corresponding to a different one of the Shvatim. Now, according to this particular Chazal, the month of Chodesh Av corresponds to the Shevet of
Shimon.
That's a very fascinating thing. We learned today in Divrei Hayom about Shimon, and we learned about the relation between Shimon and Yehuda. Now let's just right away jump into one idea. What is the month that corresponds to Chodesh Nisan? What is the month? Chodesh Nisan? Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda. Now we know, we've just gone through Tisha B'Av, and we know in Tisha B'Av the major theme of Tisha B'Av is B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim, B'tzeisi Mirushalayim. An entire kina devoted to this concept of contrasting the two together. For another example, we mentioned that kina, what was the kina? Chaf Zayin, I believe. It was kina Chaf Zayin, the riddle, where Yirmiyah encounters the spirit of the mother Tzion, and she says, I'm one, I'm three, I'm 60, I'm 1, and we add up all of those numbers, and all the numbers equal the number of 148, which is equal to Pesach. And here she's complaining to Yirmiyah that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed in Chodesh Av. So again, we see even in that kingdom, we see this relationship between Pesach and Chodesh Av. Let me give you another example. There is a tradition, it's not brought down anywhere. This is, Chassam Sofer says this. I saw this from the Chassam Sofer. He says that there was a tradition that when the Bnei Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, what day did they arrive in Egypt? There was a famine, and Yaakov, who go down to Mitzrayim, Shevet, the story of Yosef unfolds, and they go down to Mitzrayim, 70 souls. You count the number, they're only 69. Yocheved was born in Achamos, a grade of 70. What was the calendar day? What was the date when they came in, they walked in the gates of Yerushalayim? It was Tisha B'Av. It was the 15th day of Nisan. It was the 15th day, that is the Mesorah. They walked into Mitzrayim, the gates of Egypt, on the 15th day of Nisan. Bris Bein HaBesorim. I don't know if it's a medrash or it's a tradition, it's a legend. When was the Bris Bein HaBesorim? Yodoa Teda, Ki Ger Yihye Zaracha Bi Eretz Loi Lohem Va'avodim Vi Inui Oysam Arme Oshana. 15th day of Nisan. They were there for how many years? 210 years. There's another, the Chassam Sofer talk. I'm not making this up. The Chassam Sofer says there was a legend, it's a legend, that every single year on the 15th day of Nisan, they observed what we would call a Tisha B'Av. They fasted. They did whatever was a tzom. It was a chorban. Here we are. We're in Egypt. We're in Galus. We used to live in Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. Now we've come to Egypt. We're away from our homeland. And as things got worse, you can imagine they intensified the degree of fasting. On the 15th day of Nisan, they sat on the floor. They took off their shoes. They didn't eat. They had big signs. And the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation presented videos for everyone to watch. This is what they did in Egypt for 210 years. They observed a tzom very similar to the way we observe Tisha B'Av. And guess what happened? One year, it was the 15th day of Nisan, and all the signs were hung up, and that was already the tkufa when Yitzias Mitzrayim was unfolding, Makas Bechoros, and then before they turned around, it was Karm Pesach Matzah, they left Mitzrayim, and they said, wait, what's today's date? Today is the 15th day of Nisan. Last year on the 15th day of Nisan, we were sitting on the floor observing, we were mourning for the Bris Bein HaBesorim, Ger Yezaracha. We were mourning because we entered, it was the anniversary of when we entered into Egypt. And look at this, our day of mourning has turned into a day of joy. So the Chassam Sofer says something that is amazing. Just like the day, the 15th day of Nisan, started out as a day of mourning, turned into a day of joy, it's going to be exactly the same thing with Tisha B'Av. It's just going to happen. Things are going to work out. And we'll wake up. What's today? Today's the 9th day of Av. And today is the day of Mashiach, the Gula Shlema. And the 9th day of Av is going to be Mishapech into a day of Yom Tov. That's why B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim, B'tzeisi Mirushalayim. We have yet, the same thing is yet to happen when we come to B'tzeisi Mirushalayim. Now, so what do we see? I've given you three examples. I'll give you another example, Atbash. Everyone knows, well, these are very popular examples. Atbash, the first day of Pesach, is always the same day as Tisha B'Av. So we can work backwards. If this year Tisha B'Av was on a Tuesday, it must have been that Pesach was on, last year Pesach, last Pesach was on a Tuesday, if you remember correctly, was on a Tuesday. Right? Monday night, Tuesday. Because Atbash, and that's why, one of the reasons, one of many reasons, why you eat an egg on the first night of Pesach. That's only the first night, not the second night, because the first night of Pesach corresponds to the day of Tisha B'Av. Maror, when we eat the Maror, where that alludes to the Batzah's Pesach, Maror alludes to the bitterness, and the bitterness alludes to Pesach, for Pasuk and Eicha. that Hisbi'ani Bamiromim, you sated me with bitterness, referring to you caused us to rejoice on Pesach, I remember the Pasuk, and you caused us to have bitterness on Tishrei. Okay, so we obviously have this very powerful connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. What is the connection? The connection is because the koyach of Pesach is going, that same koyach of Gula is going to take the koyach of, take that koyach of Tisha B'Av and be mahapech it to a day of joy similar to how Pesach is a day of joy. The same way we have this relationship in time between Pesach and Tisha B'Av, we have this relationship in people, in segments of Klal Yisrael. Yehuda captures the spirit of Geula, of leadership, of success. Shimon captures, unfortunately, the other end of the spectrum of failure. I shouldn't say failure, no one's a failure, but of struggling to succeed. Because Shimon, what was Shimon? Shimon was the one. Shimon is represents the idea of harshness. Shimon was the one that we learned was the one that threw Yosef into the bar. He has a personality of Midas Hadin. Shimon was the one that conspired to destroy Shechem. Yaakov Avinu did not bless two people, Levi and Shimon. Moshe Rabbeinu did not bless only one person.
Shimon.
Very scary. Even Moshe Rabbeinu made up for Yaakov by blessing Levi. But Moshe did not bless Shimon. Shimon lost out. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Shimon really lost out double. He lost out from the Birchas Yaakov, and Shimon lost out from the Birchas of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Shimon represents Midas Hadin, a very harshness. Shimon was the one who wanted to destroy Yosef. He sees things differently. Shimon needs to be rehabilitated. And the one that rehabilitates Shimon is Yehuda. Because Shimon is Tisha B'Av, Yehuda is Pesach, and the rehabilitation, the koyach to be mehapech, the Tisha B'Av into another Pesach, b'tzeisi mimitzrayim, b'tzeisi mimushalayim, is Nisan verse Av. It's Yehuda verse Shimon. And that's why we learn today in Divrei Hayamim, Shimon did not get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, his chelik is absorbed, is included in the chelik of Yehuda. Just like B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim, B'tzeisi Mirushalayim, the koyach of B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim is going to infuse the B'tzeisi Mirushalayim with Geula. Yehuda, who is the essence of Chodesh Nisan, is going to be the one that's going to rehabilitate the Midas Hadin, the harshness of Shimon. Shimon's going to live in the Chelik of Yehuda. They're going to be affected by the environment, and their Midas Hadin, their harshness, their way of looking at people with everything is with toughness and strictness, is going to be rehabilitated. And you always, every time you have Shimon, you always have this concept of Din. For example, a classic example, Rashbi, right? We all celebrate Rashbi in Lag BaOmer. Rashbi is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The name today, names, unfortunately, we don't really appreciate how names capture a person's essence. But in the time of the Gemara, you look at the Tanaim and Amorayim, their names did capture their essence. We don't really appreciate who Rashbi was. But let's look at this. Let's look at the story. When they came out of the cave, right? What happened with Rashbi? He was afraid for his life because Rashbi said that the government, Midas Hadin, it all starts with Midas Hadin. The Goyim, they do big things. Go to Manhattan. It's impressive. Go look at the big buildings. Look at the economy. Look at things. Okay, you're talking about telling me in the summer it's princess and Dvar HaSurim. But nevertheless, when everything is said and done, you know, not bad. The Goyim, Chochma Ba'amim Tamim, you know, pretty good. What they can do. So, and that's indeed what Rabbi Yehuda said. The Rosh HaMedabrim. The Rosh HaMedabrim. Who was the second one? The second one, there was another Tana there in this meeting. He didn't say anything. And Rashbi said, Don't give them any credit. Everything the goy does is for their own pleasure. Don't give them, they don't deserve any compliments, any credit. That's a very negative way of looking at things, right? To go say nothing is good. Rabbi Huda says they're pretty good, not bad. Rashmi says everything that they do is for their own benefit. You know why they built the Verrazano Bridge? It's not to get from location A to location B. It's to collect taxes. That's the only reason. You know why they did this? Zoinais. They did this for their own hanah. That's not a very pleasant way of looking at the world. That's a need of midas hadin. That was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. His name captures his essence. He was named after the first Shimon, Shimon ben Yaakov, who was a person that did not want to see any good in Yosef. He looks at Yosef, he's a roidev. He's a roidev, he has to be put down. Period. No ands if buts, and if you don't want to do it, I'll push him into the bar. He's the one that pushed Yosef into the bar. What happened when he came out of the cave? He had to run away, afraid for his life. What happened when he came out of the cave? He sat and learned for 12 years, non-stop. Ritzufin, took off his clothing, miracles, charuv, water, had what to eat. He comes out of the cave, Erev Shabbos, he looks around and he sees people are working. People are working, they're going about their business. He says, you're working? How come you're not learning Torah? You should be learning Torah, you should be doing Avodas Hashem. What are you in this world for? You have time to go to work and to do mundane activities? He gave one look, they turned into toast. Ash. Midas Hadin. Mamish. So what does Hashem say? Hashem says, go back into your cave. No, thank you. I don't need people like you here to destroy my world. Get back into the cave. You need some rehabilitation. And indeed, he was rehabilitated. He went back into the cave. He came back a year later. He was in Malam Mitzchus. And then Taka, he used the Midas Hadin, Pum Takert. He used his harshness to see even the smallest spark of good in man. See, you can take Midas Hadin and you can go both ways. You can even find good. Midas Hadin is a very scary thing because Midas Hadin leads to extremes. Where do we find the extreme of Midas Hadin? And here you see he's a very big tzaddik. He's a zealot. Yosef is a roidev because Yosef was involved in things, worldly things. But what happened to Shimon? He produced Zimri. Not Zimri, I'm sorry. Who's the one? Zimri. What did Zimri do? Zimri went with Mizana with a Zona from Midian in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. And because there was a Magefa, that's pretty serious business. That's a pretty extreme thing to do. Because an extremist can go both ways. It's very dangerous to be. The famous story with Rav Ruderman. Rav Ruderman, the Rashi of Ner Yisrael, there was once happened where someone in the community in Baltimore died and left in his will to give his svarim, his whole library, to the yeshiva. So one day a truck pulls up in front of the yeshiva and they put down in front of the yeshiva, they put down the entire library. So one of the talmidim goes and he looks at the svarim and he finds, yeah, there's a shas and there's this and there's that. And he finds a book that's not 100% ayayay. A little shtickle kafira in the book. So what does the Bacha do? Bari Marei Ho'esh. He burns the book. So they told this to Rav Ruderman. Rav Ruderman privately told one of his confidants, Muftachli, that this Bacha will become an apikaris. Will become an apikaris. The kachava. How could it be? He burned the book. The book was a kfira. He's such a zealot to go burn a book. He's so quick to go take out a match and to go burn a book. That's not the way you deal with things. When you have the midas hadin, you're hot-headed, it can go from one extreme to another extreme. So it's not a good idea. There are milas. Yitzchak is also midas hadin. In fact, but there's a midas hadin where you can use the midas hadin even to find to be tazea from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That if there's the smallest spark of good, Midas Hadin demands that you receive reward in this world. Okay, so this is Shimon's Midas, and that's why Shimon is the Yontif. Shimon is Chodesh of Av. Yehud is Chodesh Nisan, and it's very beautiful how they two come together, and we see this in the Gevulos of the land where Yehuda Pesach is the rehabilitation for Av. Yehuda is the one that's going to rehabilitate Shimon. Now let's go to, okay, that's one idea. That's one isolated idea. These two holidays, two times of the year, and these two people, brothers, come together in their respective midos. Now let's go now to another idea. Okay, this is a completely separate idea. Tisha B'Av is also is called Shimon. Okay. It's called Shema. It relates to the Chodesh of Av corresponds to Shema. Why did Leah call her second child Shema? Didn't she have another name for him? So what does it say in the pasuk? Ki Shama Hashem ki sinua ani. Hashem saw that I was hated. Yaakov really wanted to marry Rachel. And Rachel gave me the simonim. I ended up marrying Yaakov, but Yaakov really never liked me. There's some very strange midrashim that say that Rachel wanted to divorce her. That before she had children, things were not so great. The marriage was on rocks. He wanted to divorce her. Things turned out. We know what this means. The pasuk says, "Ki shama Hashem ki sunu anochi." Yaakov hated me. How could Yaakov Avinu hate a tzadekes Leah? Okay, whatever this thing means, but there's a chazal. Chazal does not want to interpret the pasuk literally and has a very different twist on the word kitsunua. Hashem saw that it was hated in my eyes, the behavior of Esav. Everyone knows the Chazal, that there were two brothers, Yaakov and Esav, and there were two sisters. Lavan had two sisters, Rachel and Leah. And they said the oldest, these are the cousins. It's a perfect shidduch, there is no problem. The older one goes to the older one, and the younger goes to the younger. Rachel will marry Yaakov, and Leah will marry Esav. So everyone knew from their birth, they knew who their chassan was. So you can imagine an excited little girl wants to know who her chassan is. Says, and then she goes to the crossroads, she goes online, she types in, right? She goes to the coffee shop, she gets a computer, a laptop, she types in Esav, and it comes up, a report she can't believe. She hires a detective. You know, they always have what's advertised, getting emails for criminal activity check, whatever, they want to check you out. What? Background check? There's a background check, and the report does not come back very positive. He's a murderer, he's been arrested, he's done every aver you can possibly do. So Leah was not very happy, and she cried. She cried and cried and cried. And Kishoma Hashem Kisnua Onochi. Now, I don't know the exact grammar, how it fits into the word, it doesn't seem to fit into the word, but the Medrash is very clear. You look up the Medrash. The Medrash says, Hashem saw that it was hated in my eyes, the actions of Esav, and in the worst way in the world would I want to marry him. Hashem listened to me, and Hashem prevented me from marrying Esav and gave me Yaakov instead. Now the truth was it was not only her decision, it was her father's decision. It was the decision of Yitzchak. It's a complicated medrash. You have a complicated medrash of exactly whose decision it was. And Chazal questioned, maybe it would not have been so bad. It would not have been so bad had Leah married Esav. She would have rehabilitated him. You see that in life very often. You have people that are very rough and they have the right wife, and the wife can do what no one can do. Wonders. It's very true. We all know this. We all see this. Many of you experience it. It's worth coming just for that, right? Okay, so we know what a woman can do. Therefore, it would not necessarily have been such a bad idea. And Chazal say, really, that was meant to be. And Chazal says in Shach, this is a Kabbalistic sefer that I saw quoted in that sefer from Tzvi Reisman. He quotes this, I don't know, something like a Zohar, a parish on the Zohar, I don't know what the sefer is that David HaMelech, it's an incredible insight what it says. No, I didn't see it there, I take it back. I saw this in the sefer Shiftei Yisrael. Sefer Shiftei Yisrael, I saw this Zohar. It's incredible, this really shook me up. It says there, let's read a pasuk. I don't have the pasuk in front of me, but we'll just recall from memory. Rachel was Yifas Toyar Yifas Mare. the Leia Hoysa Gabalkore Borshan. Ain Leia Rakois. The eyes of Leia were Rakois. The Rachel Hoysa Yifas Toya Yifas Mara. Okay. Rachel had it all. Beautiful in appearance, everything was fine. Leia the Ainay Leia Rakois. Now it's not so posh what it means. Look in the Targum. The Targum says Ainay Leia Rakois means Leia had beautiful eyes. Torah is not speaking Lashon Hara. Leah had the most gorgeous eyes, and Rachel didn't have such nice eyes, but she has Yifas Toyar Yifas Mara. She had other Milas. So according to the Targum, we're only talking about Milas. We're not talking about Kasronis. But that's not the way Rashi learns. That's not the way the children will come home from Cheder and tell you what the Pasuk means.
Right.
They're going to tell you that Ene Leah Rakos means Leah eyes cried. They were soft. They were damaged due to tears. What was she crying? She was crying that she would fall in the lot of Esav. Now, Esav was what? Adomi. Esav is Edom. Red. He's red. Why is he red? Bloodthirsty person. Now, being red is not so bad. David was also red. Mr. Weiss was so kind to find me the Pasuk and Shmuel Al, Perek Tez, Zayin Pasuk Yibbeis, the very first time that Shmuel Hanavi sets his eyes on David, Vayomer Shmuel El, what Pasuk? Pasuk? Yudbeis, Vayishlach, Vayivyehu, this is the first time that Shmuel Hanavi sets his eyes on David, Vuhu Admoni, he's red, Admoni, he's red. David Hamelech is red. What does that mean? So look in the Malbim, the Malbim's red, David is like Esav, but it's Loichein Milchames Hashem. Esav is red to be Loichein, the Milchames of this world. Okay, the red swords, the red, he's full of swords, full of blood, bloodthirsty person. Dove is also red, he's also fighting battles, Hashem's battles. Leichem Milchemes Hashem. David was really meant to come from Esav, shocking Zohar. The Zohar, some Kabbalah, really should have come from Esav, because that's where Dove belongs. He's Admoini, and Esav is Admoini, that's where he belongs. Who should the mother of, who was meant to be the mother? This is incredible. I'm telling you, it's shocking to me, this whole thing. Who was meant to be the mother of Esav? Leah. What Esav was supposed to marry, Esav was supposed to marry Leah and have David. David, or whatever that means. Okay, I'm not into this type of Kabbalah thing with Neshamas, whatever that means. And Leah, what else does it say about David? What else does it say? Vuhu Admoni im Yifei Einayim, beautiful eyes. Because Leah had Rakos. Now the Targum says she had like a beautiful eyes. Okay, but even according to Rashi, that she her eyes were Rakos. What does it mean? It really means the same thing as the Targum. It's because she didn't want to marry Esav, and the way she made her eyes ugly. Through crying to stay away. Had she not cried, her eyes would have been beautiful. That's all part implied. The Targum and Rashi, not really arguing, they're just two different ways of looking at it. She had beautiful eyes. She really should have married Esav. But because she was so frightened by the wickedness of Esav, she cried. Her eyes were transformed. That's what took her away, removed her from Esav and brought her to Yaakov by changing the eyes to crying. But if she would not have cried and she would have been willing to marry Esav, her eyes would have remained beautiful as they were, as indeed the Targum says, that she had beautiful eyes. So this is an amazing thing. So here, David is a product. See, that's all part of these midrashim. Hadvar matikim had him in Divrei Hayom. Hadvar matikim. If Boaz would have not married Ruth, the Medrash says, don't worry, Ruth would have come into Klal Yisrael in another way. Hashem has his ways. And Hacharesh Tacharishi Bo Eis Hazos Revach VeHatzala Yamod LaYehudim Mimokom Acher. Hashem has his ways. You don't want to do it? Hashem will get the job done with you, without you, he'll get it done. So that's what's so frightening here. Here, David finally arrives on the scene. Who is David? He is Admoni. He's red. Im Yifei Einayim, with beautiful eyes. Who was the one that was really meant to produce this product with red, beautiful eyes? Who were the prototypes that the Torah testifies have beautiful eyes and is red? Esav is the Admoni, and the beautiful eyes is Leah. is Leah. So this is where David Shrevka. Now, what happened? What happened is what happened? What captures this pasuk? This was meant to be, but this failed. This plan that was supposed to be Esav and Leah to produce David failed because the world wasn't ready for it. That's the way it is. Leah cried, "I'm not ready to take on a mission, marry a bloodthirsty beast. Not for me. Sorry, I'm not going to do this." I cried. She married Yaakov. Yaakov wasn't happy with Plan B. This was not meant to be. I was meant to marry Rachel. You were supposed to marry Esav. You were supposed to marry Esav. I'm not happy. Okay. So you're not happy. You'll get happy. They have a child. They have a Reuven, and then you have a Shimon. Now Reuven was—it's all part of the process. Reuven, Hashem showed that I was snua, so Hashem gave me a child. Shimon ki shama Hashem ki snua. When she has the child Shimon, she commemorates Shimon. The birth of Shimon is a commemoration of the failure of her to marry her Bashert. That's really what Shimon is. Think about it. I'm naming my second child Shimon, and what am I thinking about? You know, I should have married the first guy, right? You go out, first guy no good, second guy no good. I should have married him. Why didn't I marry him? I didn't want. Was I right for not wanting? Of course, you can't say not. Because he was a Russia. What do you expect? That's the way the world is. It's not a perfect world. You got to do what you got to do, what you got to do. But it's a commemoration of the failure that Esav, I didn't marry Esav. I didn't reform him. He's out of the fold. He's now the Umos Olam. It's us against him. And when it's us against him, he also has Tsar, Esav. Esav has never been rehabilitated. You know, it's always the child that was rejected. He resents it. Okay, it's not our fault. He went off the derech. You should have rehabilitated me. Right, it's always that. So Esav is very upset. So what does he do to express his anger? He tortures us. How did he torture us? The ultimate torture is he destroys the Beis HaMikdash. So the month of Av is Shimon. What is Shimon? Shimon is Kishoma Hashem Kisanua Onochi. It commemorates the whole month of Shimon, the whole month of Chodesh of Av, with the Churban the Beis HaMikdash, is Shimon. And what is Shimon? Shimon represents the concept, the tragedy. It's no one's fault. Can't blame anyone, but it represents the tragedy that really Esav should have been part of Klal Yisrael, and Esav would have been rehabilitated by Leah, and Leah couldn't bring herself to do it, and Yitzchak also. Chazal really put the blame. They put it on Yitzchak. Yitzchak knew about all this to some degree, and Yitzchak also should have insisted that his children, Esav, his son Esav, marry Leah, and Leah would rehabilitate him. But it didn't.
He wasn't right.
It's all part of these very mystical midrashim. But you can't put anyone in it. But Shimon, the point is, Shimon captures this whole story. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that one of Yitzchak Avinu, we say in David, okay, Yitzchak, one of his children went off the derech. And no one came to rehabilitate him. And he went further and further and further. And when by the time it was too late, he has tremendous resentment and anger and hate. And now he takes it out on Klal Yisrael. And how he's taking it on Klal Yisrael? We suffer. Ad Hayom Hazeh. He destroys the Beis HaMikdash. We're in Golos. We're in Chorban. That's Shimon. That is what Chodesh Av is all about. And it's not just, oh, Esav, our enemies. It's us. And the Musar Haskell is, you know, be very careful. Be very careful. Don't reject anyone. People have to be put in their place. But you have to be doiche b'yamin, u'mekarev b'smol. Doiche b'smol, u'mekarev b'yamin. You push away with one hand, with the left. You know what I mean? Zeche b'smol is a beautiful interpretation. You turn the person around. If the other person is in that has your back to you, right? You're talking to someone, he turns around. So what do? You push him with your left hand. And you pull them with your right hand. So what are you doing? You're turning him around. 180 degrees. Right? Every guy you talk to, he gives you gives you the back, the oirif. Turn him around, you rehabilitate him. That's the musr of Chodesh Av. It is Shimon. Kishom Hashem Snu Anochi. What is Snu Anochi? It captures a whole period of time, a whole story. And that story is our tragedy. It's not their tragedy, it's our tragedy, the Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's an idea I want to show you. Have a wonderful day.